Now, will you notice here what this man Habakkuk does? Chapter 2, and we have here in chapter 2 the perception of the prophet, or I put it perspicuity of the prophet. That sounds, you know, much bigger and better, so I have put that in my notes, but it's really the perception of the prophet. Before it was perplexity. Now, will you notice, the prophet now has learned that God has an answer. He answered him on the first question, and Habakkuk just didn't think that there could be an answer for that. But he found out that there was an answer. But now this question, which is a bigger one, he recognizes that God has an answer for it. But it's a question, and my point is that if you have a question, don't smother it in some pious phraseology. We have so much of that type of thing in fundamental circles today. You hear people say, oh, I trust the Lord. Well, you're not trusting him. You're questioning him every step of the way. If you question him, there's no sin in questioning the Lord. Just go and tell him you don't understand. And that's what this man Habakkuk did. Now he's learned that God has an answer. And chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set myself upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. That's a wonderful verse of Scripture. He says, I'm going to the watchtower and wait. And when he said, I'm going to watchtower, he didn't mean he was going to read a magazine. He meant that he was going to the watchtower, and that is a figure of speech that you find in several of the prophets. You find it, for instance, in Ezekiel. You remember, it was watchman, what of the night? And the prophet was the watchman that was to prophesy to the nation. And God says, I'll hold him responsible. The watchman is the one that watches during the night. And if he is a faithful watchman, the city is safe. But if he should betray the city, or he not sound the alarm when the enemy came, then, may I say, the city is in deep trouble. And so this man now says, hey, he's God's prophet, I'm going to the watchtower, and that's the place where you watch. That's the place where you're on the lookout for a message. Now he says here, I will watch to see what he'll say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. Now, he says this, I'm going to the watchtower, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to be very patient. I'm going to wait because I know that he has an answer. I don't know what the answer is right now, but he has an answer, and he'll give me that answer in time. And so I will go and patiently wait upon him. And therefore, we have here this very marvelous verse. And I want to change something a little. He says, and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. Now, very candidly, reprove is not just quite the word for it, because he didn't expect God to reprove him at all. He felt that God would give him the right answer, and then he would understand and not have a question. That is the thought here. It's not that God's going to rebuke him and, shall I use the common colloquialism, bawl him out because he didn't trust God. No, he won't do that. God will give him the answer, and that will be forthcoming, and he will wait and delay, actually. And the reason God doesn't move immediately to tell him is because God moves slowly in all that he does and all that he undertakes. And he intends to give an answer, but it's going to come in God's own time. You know, we're the ones in a hurry. And there are several expressions that we use today that actually that's not scriptural at all. For instance, I hear this, the soon coming of Christ. Now, you show me in the Bible where that is. I haven't found it. I don't find that. Now, somebody's going to send in, "Behold, I come quickly." Now, that's in the first part of Revelation. Now, he didn't say, "I'm coming soon," because if he meant that, then soon, it's been 1,900 years. He didn't mean that. He says quickly that the things that are mentioned in Revelation that will bring him to this earth are going to happen quickly. And that is something that's happened in our day that is terrific. Time magazine covered the 10 great crisis events that took place in 10 years. Well, that's nothing compared to what's going to happen in the 7 last years before Christ comes to the earth to establish his kingdom. The thing that will introduce the 7 years will be the rapture of the church. When it leaves, then I tell you, like a trip hammer, it's going to be one blow right after another. And there'll be more than 10 events take place in 7 years. It'll be one after the other. So that the Bible doesn't teach the soon coming. It teaches the imminent coming of Christ. And then there's another expression that I hear today, and I've used the other, the soon coming, but I've never used this one. If the Lord delays his coming. And sometimes you hear some pious brother says, "Now, if the Lord delays his coming," I've got news for that brother. The Lord's not going to delay his coming. He's going to come on schedule, his schedule, not mine or yours, but on his schedule. And he will not delay. But we must remember, the Lord is long-suffering. He's patient. He's not willing for any to perish. There's going to be a company of people down yonder in Babylon that God's going to save. So this period that the children of Israel be in captivity 70 years is going to be a glorious time for God. He's going to reach the heart of Nebuchadnezzar, if you please. So we have here a very wonderful verse, you see. Now, what Habakkuk says, "I'm going to retire now to my watchtower." I don't have the answer, but I'm going to get an answer from God. May I say to you, you remember that Paul said, speaking of death, that is, of these bodies of ours that are going to be put in the grave, and then the day will come when he'll come and raise up the bodies. But in the meantime, it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. And when we leave these bodies, we're going to be at home with the Lord. But the Lord's moving rather slowly, so Paul says there in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, he says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." And so today we walk by faith. Do you have any questions that have not been answered? If you don't, I do. I have several questions that I do not have the answer for. But I have learned, like I did as a little boy, and my dad picked me up and took me to the cellar. And the Lord today moves me and things happen to me. And I wonder why in the world. But I've learned this. He's got the answer, and someday he'll give it to me. And that first little girl of mine that he took, I don't know why he took her, but he took her, and someday he's going to tell me. So I've been walking now quite a few years by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And this is the day for us to trust him, you see. That's the important thing.